Greetings, friend, and welcome to the Between the Covers podcast, where we are working every day to remove the self-limiting beliefs that are preventing us from becoming the heroes of our own stories. I am Marcus Barr, and today I wanted to discuss this parable that I heard. I think it was back when I was in high school, maybe it was when I was in college. Regardless, it was 20 or more years ago that I heard this parable. And I'm not entirely certain as to the source of this. Everywhere I have looked, it has said that this is an old Cherokee parable. Yet at the same time, there were some other sources that were saying it was somewhere else, or it's from somewhere else. So I'm not entirely certain whether this is, in fact, an old Native American or First Nations parable from the Cherokee tribe. And I'm going to try and do my best not to have this become something that is culturally appropriated. I love this parable. It is a profound take on what is happening inside of us pretty much on a daily basis. I know this as the story of the two wolves. And I just want to read it exactly as I remember it being presented to me over 20 years ago. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. "A fight is going on inside me," he said to the young warrior. "It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The young warrior thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." I love this story. This is a perfect representation of what happens within me on a daily basis. Not to mention that I am just a fan of wolves in general. What this parable is telling us, that there is a good and not so good side inside of each of us, and they're both at war with each other. One of the things that I like to use as a comparison for this is when I'm talking with my clients and we are having a discussion where they are talking about falling back into some of their bad habits. I heard this years ago from a pastor of a previous church, and I find it to be quite true. And that is, when you're given the option of something that you want to do and something that you should do, which are you most likely to choose? For most people, we go for the thing that we want to do. That's why dishes can pile up. That's why laundry doesn't get done. That's why we have these bursts where it's like, okay, I have to get all of this stuff done. And we handle all of the housework, all of the projects, or clearing the to-do list. And then once we've expended all of our energy on that, then we just kind of sit down, take a nice deep breath, and then we can spend days or weeks doing something else, things that we would rather be doing, while these projects and to-do lists and chores continue to pile up again. That seems to be the normal way of things, at least in my household. So that struggle is definitely real. And when we are talking about these, when we're talking about these qualities that are represented by these two different wolves, if I go back to the list here, mentions anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, and it goes on to superiority and ego. A lot of these are attributes inside of us that get in the way of what we're trying to do. I know so many people, and I'm one of them, that has had troubles with anger in the past. A part of my story is I was bullied a lot while I was growing up. I grew up in a very conservatively Christian part of southeastern Washington. In fact, I still live in this area. And growing up, it was unusual for a boy to have long hair, and I did. And that also meant that I received a lot of negative attention from my peers and even from some people in authority over me. That created a lot of anger. It created a lot of sorrow. It created a lot of self-pity as well. I'm going over this list here. Inferiority, regret, envy. Created a lot of this negative stuff inside of me. All of this attention that was targeted specifically at my appearance, at my masculinity, at my sexuality. It was not a good place for me to be. And I fed that wolf for years. Let's not be so kind about it. I fed that wolf for 2 decades, at least 2 decades. For at least half of my life, I fed this negative wolf because it wasn't just my peers that were giving me these messages. I started to internalize them myself. I started to say these messages to myself. When I look at the qualities of the good wolf, there were a lot of these that just seemed non-existent at the time. There wasn't a whole lot of joy or peace. Wasn't a whole lot of hope. I had no serenity. I had empathy at the time, but I didn't know that that's what it was. Compassion and faith. I struggled with all of those. And one of the things that stands out to me about this story is it's a matter, as he says at the end, the wolf that you feed is the one that's going to win. However, that also doesn't mean that you can't change that at any point. I am living, breathing proof of how possible that is. I've been doing a lot of work internally to improve my own view of myself, how I even see myself in the mirror, how I speak to myself, what I value about myself, and all of these have contributed to a much more positive and grateful and loving and joy-filled life compared to how things were when I was a teenager. One of the other things that stands out to me about this very short story, and it's so profound, is this grandfather is still struggling with these two wolves. This is a fight that's never going to end. We are going to wrestle with our own insecurities. We are going to wrestle with this old programming inside of us that is telling us to settle, that it's not worth it, that it's too hard, that we're not good enough, that we're not attractive enough, we're not desirable enough, no one wants to be around us. Those are just off the cuff. There's a lot more messages out there that are feeding that bad wolf or the evil wolf inside of us. If we start to change that to where we are seeing ourselves in a much more positive light, we start to find the joy in the little things. We start to be grateful. We become content with what we have. We look for the positive in any life situation. We are specifically initiating things in our lives to bring us calm and serenity. We are not judging ourselves or comparing ourselves to others. If we start to do even just the smallest degree toward this positivity, towards this growth, we start to feed the right wolf. We start to feed the good wolf inside of us. And once that one starts being fed and we stop feeding the evil wolf inside of us, that is going to have a powerful impact on how we navigate the world, how we interact with others, how we speak to ourselves, how we speak to those around us, whether we're talking close friends and family or we're talking complete strangers. This is a struggle that we're going to wrestle with for our entire lives. And I honestly wish I didn't have to say that. I honestly wish that I could say that it would eventually come to an end. And that would be a bold-faced lie. I know of individuals who are in their 60s and 70s who are trying to do some good life-changing work, and they still struggle with the power of this evil wolf because they have fed it for so long. And while I say that, I also don't want it to appear that it's hopeless either. Every little bit that you give to the right wolf inside of you, the one that is going to have a positive impact on your life rather than a negative one, every little bit you give to that wolf is something that is going to alter your trajectory in life. It may not seem like it at first. And this is something, again, I talk with my clients a lot about this. We are dealing with beliefs about ourselves. We're dealing with beliefs about our tribe. We're dealing with beliefs about our nation. We're dealing with beliefs about the world. And these beliefs, if they have been so ingrained inside of us for such a long time, these beliefs are not going to be easy to dethrone. It's going to be difficult for us to start giving resources to the good wolf when we have been so accustomed to giving it to the evil wolf inside of us. So when you're doing this work, it might not feel right. And while it might not feel right, your feelings are valid. Whatever you're experiencing is valid. And at the same time, your feelings can also do a great job of lying to you. I've been challenging this a lot in my own life, in my own journey. I have been challenging many of the feelings that I have, and one in particular, this is one that I've been doing a lot of work on, is when people cut me off when in conversation, if I have someone who talks over me. This is a very deep-seated struggle that I have, because people very important to me in my life have had a tendency to steamroll me in conversations. Usually what I would do is I would just clam up, and I would then start to go through all of the messages and pretty much the entire list of why no one wanted to hear something from me, why no one was interested in what I had to say, why no one gave a damn about my life. It was all about them. This is something that happened just this last weekend. Libby was running us through a game, and because of the situation that we found ourselves in, I had to play remotely. Libby was over at our friends John and Dan's place, and our friend Ben came over. And thankfully, it is a game that pretty much just takes place via text. So we were just playing on Discord. And I was running into some technical difficulties while I was playing this game. Mostly in the fact that when I joined one of the voice channels in Discord, most people couldn't hear me. At one point, my friend Ben was having to listen to everything that I was saying and then try and relay it to everyone else. And that's just an obnoxious thing to try and do. I've been in that position. It is obnoxious to try and listen to what someone is saying and then turn around and try and share it to others while you are trying to engage in a conversation that you want to contribute to as well. And there were several times when, for a while, they could hear me. And we're talking, we're debriefing about this game. The name of the game is called Alice is Missing. It is a very emotionally charged game. And we like to make sure that everything is concluded by the end of the game, and we have time to talk about what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and be able to decompress from all of that so that we are leaving everything that we experienced with the game and not bringing any extra baggage home with us. I know that sounds weird. It's like most people play games to have fun, and we were having a lot of fun. And yet it also just has this element of this emotional impact that it's important to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves when we get done with this game. So here we are. We wrap up this game and we're starting to debrief, and my audio just is not working. I can hear mostly what everyone else is saying, but I was just in and out on whether people could actually hear me. And in a lot of these instances, I would just clam up, not say anything more, and just let the conversation go wherever it was going. And if I was there in person and something like this was happening where no one was really validating what I had to say, then I would essentially just sit there and nod my head. And yet inside, I would be saying things to feed the wolf inside of me that says, they don't care anything about what you have to say. They just don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care what you have to say. What you have to say is not valid. What I was telling myself this time, because those thoughts did come up again. I was telling myself this time, no, they do care about me. They want to know that I'm okay. They want to know what my experience with this game was. They want to know some of the things that happened, why I made the choices that I did. It wasn't because they didn't care. It was something that was out of my control in that moment. I also know everyone who is playing that game, they care about me. Sometimes my friends do speak over me. And I can really struggle to fall back into that same unhealthy pattern of believing that they really don't care about me. Instead, I just remind myself, I am so accustomed to talking in a smaller voice, in a much more quieter voice. I have this habit of waiting longer than I typically could before I jump into a conversation, because what was ingrained inside of me is wait until there is a long enough pause to show that everyone is done saying their piece, and then I can jump in and say what I have to say. A lot of times, that pattern ends up leading to the conversation or the topic of the conversation changing. So whatever I have to say in that point is no longer valid to the conversation because it has moved on. The topic has changed. We have switched gears. And so I would just remain quiet. This is what I have been working with. This is what I've been working through. These are the old behaviors that this evil wolf has been telling me. This is just what life is going to be like. So when I have a friend who speaks over me, and sometimes Libby will even speak over me, it might not appear this way on the podcast, yet through the wonderful power of editing, I can remove a lot of the longer silences that I have. I can make myself sound better. I don't do a lot of editing with this podcast, mostly because I just don't have the time for it. So it's like just do the bare minimum. And I also have removed a lot of the filler words that I use. I recognize I use and a lot. I use so. I will sometimes lose my train of thought, and I can take sometimes 15 seconds before I finally remember what I was going to say. Those silences don't make for good audio programming. So it might not appear that I struggle with my language, with my voice as much as I do. There's also the benefit of I'm in here just myself and my dog Odin. There's no one else to contribute to this conversation. It's easier for me to maintain my train of thought. When I have loved ones who speak over me, I am doing a lot of work, a lot of mental work, to prevent that evil wolf from coming back up and saying they don't care about you. They don't care what you have to say. I am intentionally feeding the good wolf in saying my friends do care about me. I am working to be more verbose in conversation. I am working to make it easier for people to hear me while I also try my best to respect what others have to say as well. I am doing a lot of intentional work to feed the good wolf inside of me so that that is the wolf that starts winning. Today, which wolf are you going to intentionally feed? Which wolf are you going to give energy to? Which wolf are you going to give time to? Are you going to give your energies, your intentions, your time to the wolf that is anger, that is self-contempt, that is arrogance, that is malevolent in nature, that is judgmental, that is prideful, that doesn't trust? Or are you going to give your time, your energies to the wolf that is going to bring you joy, security, that is going to bring you life, that is going to bring you contentment, generosity? I'm trying not to go back to reread all of the different traits. I'm just trying to go off of memory here. Personally, for myself, I want to give more to the wolf that is going to bring me more calm and more peace and more joy in my life than the one that is going to make me so miserable that I want to return to my maladaptive coping mechanisms because I need something to distract myself from the tyrannical nature of this evil wolf. As you go throughout the rest of this week, I want to encourage you to feed the right wolf. Feed the wolf that is going to help you be a much more compassionate and curious person with yourself and with others. And until next time, live strong for today. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you like what you're hearing and you're interested in working with me, there is a link to my website in the show notes and also a link just to schedule a free 50-minute one-on-one call with me. Let's get the conversation started. Also, please rate and review this podcast so more people are able to find it. Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to talking with you again soon.